This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
May Allah bless you and your family.
Ameen.
You delivered a khutbah just now where you spoke about Gaza and Palestine. A lot of Muslims are feeling very intensely about this issue. It breaks our hearts, the scenes that we see. And there's a real sense of helplessness to an extent that Muslims are feeling. So I wanted to talk about things that Muslims can do and how, utilizing the Islamic worldview, we can reflect and respond to specific instances and situations that are taking place in Sharjah.
Excellent.
The first question I actually wanted to ask is that we've seen people who've made this proclamation that boycotting is not permissible, it's not allowed, it can only be done by the state, it doesn't have any influence or power. And at the same time, similar people saying that protests are not working, they're not useful, and they actually don't do anything. And some even making the argument that these are haram for whatever reasons they detail. Yeah. And I just wanted to start with that, inshallah. In terms of boycotting and protests, what is the Islamic stance? Should we attend? Should we take part or not?
Yeah, okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. To be honest with you, because you asked me, and that's why I'm answering it. Otherwise, to be honest with you, I don't give those people any weight. Yeah? And I don't like to speak about these issues, because these issues for me now, they are from the past. And there are just some brothers and sisters who are just creating noise. And their noise might be a bit loud. And we should not be influenced by their rhetoric. And we should not give them, to be honest with you, any attention. Yeah. The other thing, unfortunately, those brothers and sisters who speak about these things, they are of two types. Some of them, they have a bad agenda. This is the minimum to say. And they are influenced somehow by some agendas, by some intelligence services here and there, especially those people who are talking about these things in the Arab world, in the Muslim world. They are influenced by these intelligence agendas, okay, in their countries. And the other people, there are some innocent brothers and sisters who are just repeating what the other people are saying. Yeah, that's why I don't believe it's worth discussing it. The other thing is, see, in these matters, I don't like to discuss those matters from a micro perspective. Because once you discuss these matters from the micro perspective, you lose the focus and you lose understanding the bigger picture. And if you keep discussing these points from a micro perspective, you will lose and you will end up in a state of confusion, and then you will keep arguing over these minute things while the world is moving away. And what the atrocities are taking place, the massacres are taking place, and you will be stuck in just arguing, attending demonstrations, is it allowed or is it not allowed? And then attending demonstrations, there is free mixing there or there is no free mixing. The boycott, it has to be by the permission of the state or the wali al-amr or not. Okay, they will get stuck in these things. Leave them. Seriously. And they will not understand. They will not understand our point of view, because they are discussing it from a very micro perspective. And let alone, as we said, that some of them are influenced by the intelligence services in some countries. See, the Muslim from a macro perspective, the Muslim is an effective person. Allah Jalla wa Ala called this ummah khayra, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, what? Ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. If we are not effective, we are not the best of nations. If we are effective, then we will be the best of nations. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Wa lawla daf'u Allahi an-nas ba'dahum bi ba'd, lahuddimat sawami'u wa bi'un wa salawatun wa masajidu yudhkaru fiha ismu Allahi kathira." Allah Jalla wa Ala also says in the other ayah, "Wa lawla daf'u Allahi an-nas ba'dahum bi ba'd, lafasadat al-ard." So if there is no mudafa'a, okay, pushing and pushing and reacting to that, okay? Pull and push. Then, okay, the Muslim Ummah will lose. Yeah? So we need to do this mudafa, push, putting the bar up, okay? And not to accept to surrender. The minute we surrender, the minute we lose. Okay? Now, and also, we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, he says, whoever sees a munkar, then he should stop it by hand, if he cannot, then by tongue, if he cannot, then by what? By his heart. Now, if you look at all of these things together and add them, your understanding of the world now and what is effective and what is not effective, then you will clearly see that we need to do something as Muslim Ummah. We cannot just surrender, okay? With all the due respect to certain people, just studying Sahih al-Bukhari in your masjid will not help our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Some people say it might help them. It might help them on a long run. But now, okay, it will not help them. And that's why our deen, al-Islam, is a deen of jihad. Not just the deen of ilm. Yes or no?
100%.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participated in how many battles? Yeah? By himself, 25 battles. Okay? And yeah, I need different views about certain battles. But, okay, if you compare that to his life in Medina, okay, 11 years, yeah? So, or 10 years. How many times he was participating in battles in every year? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was dynamic in his da'wah. A man came to him and he said, I am strong in wrestling. No one have won over me. If you win over me, I will accept Islam. The Prophet ﷺ said, come on. Yeah? The Prophet ﷺ told one of the companions to learn Hebrew. Yeah? So when you add this to the previous principles that we have mentioned, you will come up with a conclusion that yes, we need to boycott. Yeah? We need to exercise any pressure, any political pressure, any financial pressure, any pressure that they will listen to. And each period of time has its tools of effectiveness. And Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ أَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةِ وَمِرْبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ. Prepare for them whatever you can. Whatever you can. So if political pressure is power, then we need to hold on this. We need to have political power. If finance is a means of power, we need to be financially powerful. If media, which is the case, yeah, is a tool for power, is a means for power, we need to be powerful. So, look now, the demonstrations that are taking place in the whole world. These demonstrations woke up the ummah. No one can deny that. No one can deny that. Subhanallah, just yesterday, a brother, he told me his daughter was not a practicing. Yeah, he took her to a demonstration. She felt the belonging to the ummah. And she felt that she can do something. Those brothers and sisters, I don't really like to discuss. This may be the first time I discuss this matter with you because you asked me. Okay? Leave them alone. They don't want to do it. Let them sit, let them enjoy their life, enjoy luxury. Okay, this is what they want. May Allah Jalla wa Ala give them tawfiq if they are sincere. Amen. Khalas, let us move on. Yeah, boycotting is very effective. The brothers, they were saying that in one of the Gulf cities, I don't want to mention that Gulf country because that country is really taking a very negative stance. In one of the cities there, they used to sell almost in one of the branches from 5,000 to 6,000 pounds a day. He said, now, yeah, we don't sell maybe less than 1,000. This is for either McDonald's or Starbucks. Yeah.
And they're putting special prices on Coca-Cola.
Exactly, because of the boycott. See, even if it is not effective, yeah, it moves your iman. Mm. It moves the ummah. Yeah. And see, I always say, brothers and sisters, some of you have very narrow perspective of what can be done. And different people, we need to empower the ummah. Different people want to do other things. Let them do other things. Look now what is happening. We see actors, we see footballers, we see sports people, we see singers are all participating in this malhama, in this campaign. Yeah? We shall tell them, no, singer, you are a sinful. Don't do it. Actress, you are an actress or actor. Don't do it. No. Anyone wants to do something, all people want to go to Jannah. Let them do something to save them so they can go to Jannah. Let them do it. Yeah? So this is my advice. Khalas, leave those brothers. They don't want to listen. Up to them. Yeah? And we want to do it. Finally, some brothers, out of their narrow understanding of Islam, they say, what is the proof that this is allowed? No. You should bring a proof that this is not allowed. Because the asl in Sharia in these things, al-ibaha, okay? Political activism, social activism, just do. If there is a clear delil, yeah, that this is haram, okay, then it is haram. And moreover, I say, you believe that it is haram, khalas, don't do it. You want to force your opinion on everyone, you don't do it, that's it, yeah? Jazakallah khair. Yeah.
That was an amazing answer, Sheikh. And I think the point you made about effectiveness is if they didn't think boycotts were successful and social media campaigns and protesting, they wouldn't be trying to stop it.
Of course. And yeah, definitely. Why?
Sunday,
why? Yeah. Yeah. Why, you know, Facebook is removing, okay, and do shadow, okay.
Shadow banning.
Yeah, banning in order to restrict the message. Mm. They are horrified. Because our message, our narrative now is the strongest narrative. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And they say, oh, Facebook is under our control. Twitter is under control. Instagram, all social media, we produce them. And now those social media is working against us. Mm-hmm. They are really terrified by this. And that's why I'm really proud of the Ummah. The Ummah is doing really very well, especially the Shabab. Wallahi, may Allah reward them. They are really doing fantastic job. Yeah.
You mentioned the hadith in Jumu'ah as well. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyir biyad.
Yeah.
One of the understandings of that is that the yad is for the politicians, the lisan is for the ulama.
Yeah.
So I want to take this conversation now to the politicians and the ulama.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start with the politicians.
Yeah.
I don't know. I leave this open to you to answer how you want, but we have a lot of Muslim counselors.
Yeah.
A lot of them have resigned.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Yeah. But a lot of them are not resigning. They're staying quiet.
Yeah.
And the political leaders of both parties, whether the opposition or the current government, are complicit now in everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer, when he talked about collective punishment and getting condemned, he's trying to backtrack and things like that.
Yeah.
I had a brother ask me,
yeah,
is it even permissible now to vote for these political parties knowing that they were complicit in the genocide of our brothers and sisters?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to ask on a local level, what is our view now on engaging in politics and voting for political parties? Do we now have to form independent bodies? Do we have to put forward independent candidates?
Yeah.
And then also, when it comes to the major political parties that exist now, can we even vote for them, even if it is permissible?
Yeah, excellent. See, these things are related to our community at large. Yeah, they are not related to me, to you, to some local people. So we are planning, inshallah, to discuss the issue of voting just after, inshallah, this crisis is over. We will start discussing it within the Muslim leadership. Yeah, the leaders of the Muslims, inshallah, we will sit and discuss that. What shall we do? Shall we boycott? Shall we form our independent parties? Shall we continue supporting the labor, knowing what is happening? Shall we do what? Yeah. So this, I prefer that this to be a decision by the entire Muslim community. And I always say, my dear brothers and sisters, be careful. Things related to the society, leave them to the society. Yeah, to the society at large, to the community, I mean. Yeah, things related to the community at large, leave them, okay, at that scale. If we take individual opinions or local opinions, those maybe stances might not be conducive. Okay, this is my advice regarding these things. And I always say, you brothers, you need to exercise pressure on your leaders, in your local leaders, in order to discuss the matter with the leaders of the Muslim community in the UK to coordinate, yeah, and have a strategy rather than just reactions of individuals in local places. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying we need to leave this to the leaders of our community.
Yes, yeah.
And there is guidance that will be coming.
Yes, inshallah. And your job is to exercise pressure, okay, to get to that, inshallah. Okay.
My final question then will come to the ulama. Many ulama have spoken out on this issue now. They've released statements, they've given khutab, they've said things, some to the detriment of their own position. People have now come after them and said, especially the right-wing lobby and the right-wing press. But at the same time, regardless, and this is not, I don't want to restrict this to a single Muslim community. And if I can say the names, this is not a Salafi, Sufi thing.
Yeah.
Across the spectrum, in every community,
I agree.
You have certain scholars.
Yeah.
Maybe like you mentioned, they've been compromised because of their association with certain states and things who are not speaking out.
Yeah.
And the general public now is feeling very, very concerned, anxious about this.
Yeah.
They feel like their leadership has abandoned them.
Yeah.
They haven't got their finger on the pulse of the community.
Yeah.
They're talking about things that have nothing to do with the community, where Muslims are being butchered in Gaza and other places as well.
Yeah.
And they're losing respect for them.
Yeah.
This is very, very dangerous.
Yes.
Because ilm is so important. It is the bedrock of our faith and our tradition and our community.
Yeah, agree.
So what is our response then? What is your guidance?
Yeah.
Especially with the ulama.
Jazakallah khair. First of all, the ulama should be the leaders. And they should be the in the front. And I always say to, this is internally, I say to the scholars, if you are unable to stand up for your community, for the truth, whenever the community is in need, I prefer that you don't come across as an alim or as an imam or as a scholar. Just sit at your home, maybe teach some people, yani, small things, and teach some young people Quran in a limited capacity. But don't come across as a scholar, as a leader, as an influential, as an imam. Yeah, because Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَ فَنَبَذُوهُ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَاشْتَرَوْا بِهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَشْتَرُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِيمَانِهِمْ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّاعِنُونَ. So the responsibility of scholars, Allah Jalla wa Ala took the covenant, on the people of the book, here means the people of knowledge, that they should clarify the haqq. Yeah? Otherwise, Allah Jalla wa Ala will curse them, Allah and the people will also curse them. Yeah? Now, and by the way, there are so many ahadith and ayat that talk about this. Allah Jalla wa Ala told us about Bil'am ibn Ba'ura. واتل عليهم نبأ الذي أتيناه نبأ الذي أتيناه فانسلخ منها فأتبعه الشيطان فكان من الغاوين. Yeah, فمثله كمثل الكلب. Allah Jalla wa Ala gave us the example of a scholar from Bani Israel. He did not speak the truth. Allah Jalla wa Ala told us about Bani Israel. كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. Yeah, we don't want to become like Bani Israel and do not speak about the truth. Otherwise, we will lose our status as an ummah. And when Allah Jalla wa Ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar," maybe not everyone will be able to do that. Then who is going to do that? The scholars, the people of knowledge. Okay.
Because if they don't, people without knowledge will speak up on behalf
exactly.
of
them. Yes. Then they will what? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hatta ida when the people of knowledge die, people will take what? Juhal, ignorant people as what? As leaders. And then those leaders will misguide them. Yeah? So, and it is a huge responsibility on our brothers who have some knowledge. Even some sisters who have some knowledge, they have. Okay, but the sister have a different situation. But our imams, yeah, they have a big responsibility. And I don't want to tell you that I had really some serious discussions with some organizations that they claim that they represent the Muslim Ummah, okay, in the Muslim community here. Why don't you say something clearly, openly, and you be with the community? Yeah? So this is, it is clear. Now, what do we need to do? I strongly advise that the Shabab, the young people, the people of the masjid, the congregation, to exercise pressure on their imams. Speak out. Say something. Why is your khutbah talking about... you are talking about, irrelevant topic. Yeah? And the Muslims are being butchered in Gaza. They should come to the imam. No, this is not acceptable. Yeah? Tell us what to do. We are crying because of what we see. And we don't know. We don't have any direction. You are our imam. You should give us a direction. Why are we coming to a khutbah? Many Muslims, they don't have access to Islamic knowledge. They don't have access to Islamic guidance except the khutbah once a week. Yeah, and then they go and the imam is talking about some rulings related to Tahara. Or I remember one time there was a crisis in the Muslim Ummah, I think in 2008. And the imam was talking about madhab. Yeah, the issue of madhab. You should follow which madhab. And subhanallah, what is this man? Okay, so if the imams are not relative, if the imams are not doing what Allah Jalla wa Ala wants from them, yeah, then they are sinful. And subhanallah, as Allah Jalla wa Ala says, yal'anuhumullahu wa yal'anuhum la'inun, evil people, yeah, will abandon them, people will curse them, people. So I was saying that if the imams don't do that, then the ummah should exercise pressure on the imams to do that. And alhamdulillah, khair is there. Wallahi, the ummah is waking up. It is really amazing. Yeah, some people were not very close to Islam and they are now starting to speak up. Yeah, even they might risk their position, they might risk their jobs, some of them. Yeah, and inshallah, slowly, inshallah, khair is coming. We need to be optimistic.
بأنك تقبلني يا كريم.